We've got Chris Rose coming up in about 5 minutes. He'll help us look ahead to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I guess he was out walking his dog. He snapped the pick. He saw Aaron Boone driving around today. And Aaron Boone, I guess if you're a manager in Major League Baseball, you're not really doing anything right now. You're just in a lockout. You're waiting for the suits to figure it out. And you see the news today that AAA ball this year are going to have robotic umpires. They're going to have the robotic strike zone starting this year in AAA.
So what is there? No human umpires on the field?
Well, the umpires that, you know, yeah, first, second, third, like you still have to have umps on a judgment call, effectively.
And at home plate.
And at home plate for if there's a play at the plate, yes. But I guess the strike zone will be determined by a robotic ump or a robotic strike zone.
Do you want that? I don't think you don't like
that. Isn't the umpires union like out of their mind pissed right now? Like, don't they have...
Unless they feel like they can keep getting paid the same amount of money and not have any responsibility for a strike zone.
I guess.
You know, the lazy man's way out could be, hey, I'll keep paying me. I'll stand back there and let the robot tell me what to do. Strike.
Well, you know where that's going. There's only one way they're doing it in the minors is because they want to see how it goes. Because if it goes well, it's going right to the big leagues.
Absolutely. Right. I think there's too much of, a tidal wave moving in that direction. It just... I think the pendulum swung quite some time ago. The game is so statistically driven and robotic in many ways, just in terms of the way baseball is played.
And 25 years ago, nobody sat on their couch, Hayes, and made videos and put them on TikTok saying, look at how bad this strike call is.
Exactly. Instant replay, 4K TV. Yeah. Are we still at 4K? Is there 5K? Is that what's coming next? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We got the 5K. Angle.
Is there 5K now?
Yeah, there is 5K angle on TSN. They spin it around, and it's
that's not
5K impressive.
Though. That's 5G, isn't it? Like,
sorry.
Isn't that?
You're
I'm
right.
Talking,
you're right. Sorry.
5G.
Right.
Yep.
5G.
Right. 5G look. Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. I like.
Very
that.
Cool. Very cool. I'm a supporter of the 5G. I'm saying, what is the next level of TV and screen? Like, how much more personal can it get?
I don't
know.
I don't want it too much where the people can like look at the pores on your face. It's not good.
I know.
Good.
Like, that's the thing.
It's not a good look,
no.
If you're...
No one wants that. You can't get too close. You don't
exactly.
want to see every possible blemish. But, I would think that means that's where it's trending for baseball. I think it's going to get there. It's just a matter of when, I guess.
Yeah.
That said, the whole Tampa-Montreal split team, that was going to be an evolution of the sports world, and that got shot down yesterday.
Dude, that was the dumbest thing that's ever been proposed, as if the guys, you're talking about guys with kids in schools and what, they're going to go, no way.
No, I never understood it from a player's perspective. I didn't really understand the logistics of it all either.
It was never possible.
No, you're because it'd be one thing if Tampa and Miami split a team, maybe even that seems goofy and unnecessary. When you're talking about the amount of revenue and franchise value in pro sports today, it's not like it's going the opposite way. They're still making money hand over fist. It's getting better and better year in, year out. But geographically, for whatever reason, if you had Tampa and Orlando split a team, let's say that, Miami's already got their own team. Let's say Tampa said, we're looking at Orlando. We feel like that could be something we could take advantage of. Tampa to Montreal is a three-hour flight. It's a different country. They speak French in one of the cities. Make any sense logistically whatsoever. And I feel for people in Montreal because it felt like that was it. It does seem like there's a lot of pessimism, the idea that this will somehow come alive again or baseball will expand and Montreal will be at the forefront of it because – Montreal, I just don't know if they have the backing economically in terms of a new stadium, in terms of their own history where the Expos, were run into the ground by ownership in many ways, but also it just wasn't a great scene by the end of it. So I don't know. Feels like that dream could be dead in Montreal.
Would you be on board with their team in Montreal?
Sure. Yeah, I'd prefer it than anywhere else in the States. Like, as a Canadian, of course. I'm greedy from that standpoint.
Vancouver. Did you ever go watch the Expos up there?
I didn't go too much. I've been to the big O.
I've been too. The problem is I went opening night when I was playing in the playoffs, and it was packed, 55,000 people.
Really?
Next night, 2,400.
Yeah.
So it's like As soon as I saw that, I'm like, maybe they just can't put people. It's amazing. Like, they put people in the stands, or they don't put people in the stands, and then fans are like, wow, get us a team back. They don't support the team, they lose the team, and it's like, well, we deserve a team. Well, why do you deserve a team if you didn't support it when it was there? And there might have been ownership stuff and stuff that pissed fans off, but man,
yeah,
you got to enjoy it while it's there. And if you don't go support it, it'll be gone. Gone.
Yeah,
by
the end, it was ugly. It's been a tough week in Quebec, man. Like, Quebec City got told thanks, but no thanks. The NHL, now Montreal was hoping to.
How did Quebec City think they was going to get a team, Hayes, in the NHL with what's going on? And Jerry is sitting back saying, I hate Canada so much right now. No. And you think you want another team there? No thanks.
The timing was tough for them.
Yeah. I'll go to Flint before I go to Quebec City.
I think you're probably right. Here is Chris Rose. You know him from the NFL Network, Chris Rose Rotation Podcast. He's been on before, and he joins us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Chris?
All good, gang. What's going on?
Well, we kind of got onto a little bit of a baseball tangent. We saw your tweet. You ran into Aaron Boone, I guess, walking your dog. And, you know, like, baseball managers aren't doing anything right now. They're just waiting for some sort of resolution in terms of the CBA. And that led us to the conversation about the robotic strike zone in AAA. And I sense that it's coming to the majors at some point. Are you a supporter of that idea?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I didn't follow it closely enough, and I think it was used in the Atlantic League last year, I want to say, to see what people thought about it. But, you know, I have no problem with the premise whatsoever. You know, I mean, the strike zone for years has just been a moving target, and people always say, well, as long as you're consistent. Well, I mean, I think if we can improve, you know, that might have worked 30 years ago when we don't have the technology that we do today. You know, if you're going to keep saying that 2 + 2 = 5, but as long as you say it every time, you might believe that 5 is the right. It's not the right answer, by the way. It's no math major, but I'm just making sure, right?
Right. We're good. We're following.
Yeah. But you guys kind of get what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, I think the, romanticizing of the strike zone where people say, well, as long as we're close enough and consistent enough, like, let's try and get it right. Gang, let's do that.
Yeah, my issue with it is the humanity that comes out of it and the allowance of a guy like me who's got a show. Like, I want to rip on Angel Hernandez. I want that content.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, don't worry, you'll get that somewhere.
Probably. He'll screw up somewhere else and I'll find it. But, you know, I do.
That's coming.
That's somewhat nostalgic, I'll admit. You know, like, I miss – you don't see a lot of confrontation or as much confrontation.
Right.
Aaron Boone said one of the great ones of the last, you know, 5 or 10 years when he said he has savages in the box. But I want – that's
totally.
That will be lost, will it not, Chris, if you get rid of it? Like, Boone's not going to run out and yell at an iPad if the strike zone is what it is.
That's true. So we are going to have to manufacture something because I agree with you. I miss – you know, I loved it when Joe Maddon one time – when he ran out, I think he was in Tampa, and it might have happened in Chicago or something. I don't exactly remember where it happened, but he was mad at all the umpires, and he pointed at each one and ejected him. I mean, it was great. Like, it was good stuff. And, yes, that has been missing quite a bit over the last few years.
With Chris Rose of the NFL Network, check out his podcast, Chris Rose Rotation Podcast. Derrick Henry activated. He's off the IR. He'll be back this weekend. I do think this has been a game that's been largely overshadowed, maybe based on the markets involved, based on an acceptance or a belief that whoever wins this game will run into Kansas City and Buffalo, and that might be the end of the road. But what does the return of Henry for Tennessee do in terms of piquing your interest in that game?
Well, it's definitely not the markets, because Kansas City and Buffalo aren't exactly New
right.
York and L.A.
Yeah, true.
And I don't think everybody's like, man, Green Bay. That place is just huge. So it's all about the sexiness factor, right? I mean, Tennessee, you're like, okay, they've got Derrick Henry and a really good all-pro safety. Like, that's how you look at it. But they're really, really good team, well-coached. That defensive front's going to be a problem for Cincinnati. And I know that we want to focus on the Derrick Henry, and I don't know if he's going to be able to carry it 20 times. I mean, the guy hasn't played it since Halloween. But I mean, that's, you know, their running game actually did okay without him. It wasn't Henry-esque, but you know, Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard did a really, really nice job. And as long as that offensive line is okay, they should be fine. So the question is, are they going to be able to slow down that machine? If Cincinnati continues to settle for field goals like it did last week against the Raiders, then they won't win that game. They're going to have to score some touchdowns when they get close, and they can. I think it'll be a fun game to watch. This is my favorite weekend of the year, guys. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my boy Joey Burrow. You never know what he might have up his sleeve, man.
He's great. He's great. He's just, you know what, he's like, if you've never seen him play quarterback and you'd say, well, describe him. The word I would use is calm. Like, there's no wasted movement with Joe Burrow. You know, some guys are really good, you know, like Favre back in the day, you would never use the word calm. He was great to watch. He was a three-time MVP, but it was like somebody stuck his big toe in an electric socket before he took a snap every time. That's not the case with Joe Burrow.
Well, you mentioned Green Bay, and you mentioned Favre, his successor, Aaron Rodgers, back in action this weekend. Actually, you mentioned a toe, and that's been a big part of his conversation this year as well. You got to believe he's back and healthy and good to go. In terms of his future, do you think the next month has any factor on what his decision will be in terms of whether or not he wants to stay in Green Bay or walk?
I don't. I play this out in my head, right? What teams would trade for Aaron Rodgers? Definitely at this point. Pittsburgh would, I think, even though that's not their MO, right? They don't trade for big names. In fact, they don't even bring in a ton of free agent big names. It just, they build through the draft and they go that direction for the most part. Denver would make sense. I don't know how many other teams would. For him, you know, I don't know if the Packers are one of those that we have to trade him to an AFC team sort of deal. But if you go and you get traded to Pittsburgh, well, then you've got to deal with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And if the Browns ever figure out if Baker's the guy or not, the team certainly has a lot of talent. If you go to Denver, then you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And if Derek Carr sticks around and that's your fourth best quarterback in the division, good luck.
Right.
Or he could stay where he's been his entire career, where he's beloved, where he's not brought in as a hired gun, where if you don't win the Super Bowl, you're looked at as a complete failure. And who are the other quarterbacks in your division? And two of the teams are looking for coaches. Like, come on, you got a layup there. That division is yours as long as you're around, dude. So, if legacy is as important to Aaron Rodgers as we all believe it is, then it makes the most sense to stay in Green Bay, unless there's so much crap behind the scenes that it's just not plausible for him to stay, which I can't believe it is.
How much interest do you have in Tom Brady going back to a Super Bowl, maybe winning another Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I've got interest in it. I think they're going to have a real tough time this weekend. You know, they could be missing two really good offensive linemen. The Rams are going to be missing their veteran left tackle, Andrew Whitworth. So I think it's a question of, you know, which quarterback is going to be least in the line of fire. Both those defenses can get it done, right? They can both get to the passer, and they can both get to the passer with only four guys. So that's going to be the key stuff this weekend in that game.
If Tampa doesn't get it done, do you think Brady walks away, or is it just the same routine he's going to play again?
Right. So I was thinking about this a little earlier today. Like, at what point does he stop? You know, is there a real difference between getting an eighth ring or just settling for seven? Like, what is it? There's got to be something in his life that would make him totally change. Like his kids are now old enough to the point where the way that he prepares and pours his energies into being Tom Brady, the quarterback, is going to cost you being able to go watch your kids play sports, or if they're into music or whatever. And I can tell you, this is a father of kids that are 21 and 16 now. Once that stuff is gone, it ain't coming back. Mm-hmm. It just ain't. So at what, there's not, you know, is a loss in the divisional round against the Rams the one where he wakes up on Monday and he goes, yep, it's definitely time. Like, I can't, he's so different than anybody we've ever seen. I would be curious to see what is the one thing that makes him turn. And I can't figure it out. I don't think it's a loss to the Rams.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, he's got everything already. He's already like, it's not like he's fighting with Montana anymore or, you know, anyone else, even within his own generation.
Right.
I don't know what else he's trying to check off other than, hey, can the doubters who believe at 45 he's just simply got to go. You know, that's...
Well, but that's not accurate because the guy just threw for 4,300 yards and led the NFL in touchdown, or 5,300 yards and...
I guess I'm saying like conventional wisdom would tell you it has to stop, but it's not.
Yes.
It's not.
But I mean, unless, you know, he gives us that line every year that, you know, I got to take it at the end of the year. There's a lot of energy expended in getting to the point that he does every season, which, you know, nobody can question that. But, and then he says, I got to take it year by year. But maybe he's the one who knows that I want to be the guy who plays to 50. And he just doesn't want to tell us in case he doesn't get there. Maybe that's the only thing.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And that, what's amazing about that is you're still looking at another, you know, five seasons before he even gets there. That's a lot of Tom Brady material between now and then with Chris Rose. How much of a role do you believe home field advantage, Arrowhead Stadium in particular, is going to play in Kansas City, Buffalo?
Not as much as it normally does, because you're taking on a team now that has – played a significant number of playoff road games with a lot of these same guys, including right there a year ago. And they went in the Arrowhead in week five on a Sunday night football game and took it to Kansas City. Now, that was the point where Kansas City was fell to 2-3. We started asking questions about them. They're obviously a much improved defensive squad since then. But Josh Allen is... You know, I think the bigger question is, like, if Buffalo wins this game, is this going to be the one where all of a sudden we all say things have flipped and Buffalo is like the epicenter of the AFC for the foreseeable future? Like, this is going to be the game, I think.
It's going to be the game possibly of the weekend, but as you said earlier, this is such a fun weekend. Anything is possible at this point. It's going to be a blast. Enjoy it all, Chris. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy the games.
There's Chris Rose of the NFL Network.
What time is that game?
What's the spread on that, too?
That's the Sunday game. The lines have been moving. We've got it on the sheet at -2.5. The Chiefs are -2.5. I've seen different lines with different books, but that's the last game of the weekend. That's
Get this sorted out differently. I don't want to be... like, what are we doing? An overdrive
line? What they're saying,
line?
It's almost a pick'em, though. I mean, that's pretty damn close.
It's close, yeah. I mean, listen, we'll make sure we're all on the same page before we lock in a bet. But, yeah, it's going Bengals, Titans, Niners, Packers. Those are the two Saturday games. And then Rams at Bucks Sunday afternoon, Bills at Chiefs, the nightcap. And that, I think that's appropriate. The last game of the weekend should be Bills at Chiefs. It's the most highly anticipated game.
Oh, yeah.
Just the nature of the two teams, the two quarterbacks. And I think Chris hits the nail on the head. You know, I used the Winnipeg Jets analogy earlier in the week where you're, you know, in the 80s, it was like, well, Calgary's too good. Edmonton's too good. You got to break through at some point. And the Bills, I don't think this is the end of the road. If they lose to Kansas City, it's not as if next year they're going to win five or six games. But you've been building towards this for a while. You made the playoffs now for a couple of years in a row. Josh Allen is legit. Like, he is a top five quarterback in the league. You're going to have to beat Mahomes. Like, you got to beat Kansas City. They're not going anywhere either. Chances are they'll be right there next year waiting for you.